T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Williams and Durante Partridge and Devin, attorney public defender, Devin Franklin. And there were a lot of questions raised, and so we want to give you an opportunity today. We have attorney Tamika West with us. Her area of specialty is employment law. And several of you all had questions that those personal injury and criminal defense attorneys and civil rights attorneys and public defender couldn't answer. And I couldn't answer either. And so we invite to the conversation attorney Tamika West. Attorney West, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing very good. Look, we had a lot of people call, a lot of conversations around employment law in this world of COVID-19. And but tell everybody a little bit about your practice and about you and how you came to specialize in employment law. And what are some of the areas that you cover within that realm?
Sure. Well, first, I would like to thank you for the invitation. My name is Attorney Tamika West, and I have specialized in labor and employment law for over 15 years. I primarily represent employees and small business employers in labor and employment law matters, such as discrimination cases, breach of contract, unemployment cases. Generally, anything that comes up in the workplace, I generally handle. So the reason why I got into the field is because I always had an interest in civil rights law. I grew up in Mississippi, and so I just always had a passion for making sure that there was fairness in the workplace. So I started out as a consultant doing EEO work and then moved to, I also worked as a labor attorney with the federal government as well. So I'm able to represent employees in both the federal and private sector. And so I've been licensed to practice law for approximately 19 years, and I've specialized in labor and employment law for over 15 years. I also have experience in representing unions and employees in collective bargaining issues.
Okay. And so we want to make sure you use your kind of your experience coming in the other side to talk about the rights of the employees, because we got some very interesting questions yesterday. I guess just out the gate, give us your general some of the general concerns that have been raised. A specific question was asked, can an employer force me to come to work in an environment? I think it was raised like the post office, for instance, who've had a number, the Postal Service, as you can imagine, large organization, a lot of workers. It requires a lot of people to process the mail. As a college student, I worked up at the main post office in Crown Road. How they hire the little intern and summer workers and a lot of people to move the mail. And so this particular call said, look, my husband worked there and, he's had some issues, health issues, but he can do his job. But now there have been some confirmed cases in his division. And she wanted to know, what does he have any legal recourse in terms of, can they make him come to work? What should they? Is that standard of care that they should be providing for the employees, given the nature of kind of what's going on now? Just give us some, using that as a backdrop, but give us a general spiel on what an employer is supposed to do, or is there any?
Sure. Well, first, I would like to, of course, offer the disclaimer that any of my responses or comments should not be considered as legal advice. However, many times it depends on the type of employer that you work for. So there are different rules that apply to a private employer versus a governmental entity or even the Postal Service. Like with respect to a Postal Service employee, generally the union or the master labor agreement is going to govern their terms and conditions of employment. So what that means is if the employee has a fear of going to work because of some risk that they feel like they may be exposed to, they must have a reasonable belief that there is a fear in the workplace that could expose them to some type of health risk. So generally, in this case, when dealing with the coronavirus, generally there must have been some type of known diagnosis by an employee at that facility. So say, for instance, if the fear is just in general, like everything that's going on, I don't necessarily want to go to work, then I would suggest that the employee probably talk to his union representative with respect to his fears and see if possible he could ask for maybe an alternative work agreement, whether it be working from home or some other agreement if they feel uncomfortable working in the workplace. But I would say generally that the employee, particularly for government employees or Postal Service employees, the union is going to govern the relationship between the employee and management. So they have to work within the union to basically address any concerns that they have, particularly health and safety issues in the workplace. So, like I said, generally there has to be some known or diagnosed particular facility.
Yeah, let's get to the – it's known. Freedom. These people have tested positive. It's been announced that for my team, colleagues who work within a good eye shot of 6 feet of me, it's not speculated. We know that they are test positive and they're quarantined now at home. Is that then a reasonable has care been raised enough that I should be provided with anything and safety equipment, or what is the responsibility then of the corporation? And we know we're dealing with different. Let's just stick with the post office. The post office scenario. What would then be their responsibility?
So generally, OSHA is going to govern any type of occupational safety and health issues in the workplace. So OSHA stands for Occupational Safety and Health Administration. So that falls under the United States Department of Labor purview. So anytime an employee feels as if there's a health risk in the workplace, generally they can report that to OSHA, and OSHA can investigate any complaints. Now, the employer is required to make the workplace safe by, in this case, it probably means cleaning the facility, making sure, that they tested the facility properly. But if the employee still feels uncomfortable going into the workplace, they can always file a complaint with OSHA. That's that would be under the United States Department of Labor. That's an agency under the United States Department of Labor. So they can file a complaint, and then generally the law does prohibit any type of retaliation for reporting any type of for filing any type of complaint regarding any workplace safety issues.
All right, 404-892-2703. Attorney West, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about, for instance, the jail. We know now that there have been 18 confirmed cases, I believe, in Fulton County Jail. And now some of the deputy sheriff are reporting that they have contracted the disease as well, the virus. We now know it is present in the workplace. What would be concerns that would, as an attorney, represent either side of this, what would be your concern that now you know, we're not speculating again, What would be your concerns for both the employee and the employer in a situation like that, where there's people incarcerated, they can't get out, you working there, you locked in with them, and now you've contracted the virus along with some of the inmates who are there? What would be the labor relations issues that could be raised there? 404-892-2703. Again, our special guest is labor attorney Tamika West. We'll be back in a moment. It's Too Much Truth with Derek Bozeman on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. asking about known places where the virus is, almost like the post office scenario, but let's just take any jail. It is there. It is among the general population. You have to now go into that environment. They know that you have a compromised immune system. They know they got your file. Can you request what would you say to the employee they ought to do? Should I go to my supervisor and say, look, can y'all move me to a desk job, or can I go on the street serving warrants, or what would be your best advice to the employee? And then what would be your best advice to the employer in situations like this? Somebody got to do the work. Somebody got to watch the inmates, serve the food, dispense the medicine. But what should I do or say if I know, I might need to, it was okay before this, but I might need to now limit my interaction with these individuals?
Yes, generally from the employee perspective, generally the first step I would always recommend is that you contact your personnel department or human resources if you're having any concerns with respect to your working conditions. I would say that generally any employee that may be exposed to the virus in the workplace, that's probably going to fall under workers' comp law. And then generally the way, so there are two new laws that would affect an employee's, like, taking leave or treatment if, in fact, they, say, for instance, if they are exposed and then get the virus. Like, generally the, what we call, it's called the Family First Coronavirus Response Act that was passed by Congress and became effective April 1st of 2020. It's going
to... Tell us that again. Give us that law
Family First, yes, there are two. The first one that they passed was the Family First Coronavirus Response Act.
Now, what did that provide for?
Yes, it provides for two things. So under the Family First Coronavirus Response Act, it includes emergency paid sick leave for the employee, as well as emergency family leave for the employee. Mm. So
now that's if you catch the virus.
Yes, if you catch the virus. Okay. Now, okay, if you do not catch the virus, if you catch it, or if you say, for instance, there are six reasons that generally you can request leave under this act, and three of the reasons deal with an employee's own health. So the first reason would be if an employee is subject to federal and state or local quarantine or isolation order. The second reason would be if the employee has been advised by a healthcare provider to self-quarantine because of the virus. The third reason would be if the employee is experiencing symptoms of the COVID-19 and is seeking a medical diagnosis. So under those three reasons related to the employee's own health condition, they can request emergency paid sick leave. That generally can provide 80 hours.
Let me slow that down, Attorney West. I think that's critical. If the employee is experiencing any symptoms,
clarify, not only experiencing something, but they must be seeking some type of medical diagnosis or treatment.
Right. So you can be, look, I'm going to my doctor. I have a high-grade fever. I need to get to my doctor. I'm out of here.
Yes.
And that would be a legitimate reason for this act to kick in, and you cannot be fired because of it.
No. And it would entitle the employees to what they call 80 hours of paid leave, so about 10 days. And then if they still need additional leave, then that's where the emergency family medical leave is going to come in. That would give them approximately an additional 10 weeks. So basically, under the Emergency Family Medical Leave Act, it actually expands the Family and Medical Leave Act, where it gives the employee 12 weeks of leave, but the leave has to be actually, a portion of it has to be paid, where it's two-thirds times their regular rate, and it is job-protected leave. So that's very important.
And that just came into existence on April 1st, so that's relatively, that's only 7-8 days old.
Yes, and it applies between leave taken between April 1st of 2020 and December 31st of 2020.
Okay. All right. And you were saying there's another act that kicked in as well?
Yes. The most recent act is the CARES Act. It was signed into law March 27 of 2020. And what the CARES Act does is actually expands unemployment insurance benefits for employees, independent contractors, what we call gig workers, which are rideshare, such as rideshare drivers. Also, the CARES Act also included loans and grants for small businesses. So that's the second part of the relief that's being provided. So basically, they're releasing this help in stages or in different packages. And so the first one that they did was the Family First Coronavirus Response Act. And then the second
CARES Act provides for direct financial assistance to those people who fall in the category of workers that include, what you say, gig?
Well, the most important thing is it expands the unemployment benefits.
Okay.
So
those people are eligible for unemployment.
Yes. Prior to the enactment of this law, if you were an independent contractor or a gig worker, you likely would not qualify for unemployment. But under this new law, self-employed people, 1099 contractors, gig workers, which are what we can consider to be rideshare drivers, may qualify for unemployment benefits under this new law.
Really?
That's very important. Yes, and what's
very important, because usually unemployment, people don't realize unemployment is an insurance, and you're kind of paying into it if you're employed through your employer. But even if you're a 1099 gig worker, independent contractor, you can then apply for unemployment benefits under the CARES Act.
And the other big thing under this act is that it actually also increases the pay for unemployment. So generally, when an employee would be entitled to a maximum of $365 per week, they're going to get that $365. They will likely be eligible for the $365 plus a $600 supplement that's going to be added by the federal government. So on average, an employee could collect up to approximately $940 a week for unemployment under the new CARES Act.
Now, is a supplement, because that's another good question that would be, is a supplement based on a proportion of what you were receiving, or is the supplement across the board $600?
It's across the board. The 365 is based on what you were making.
Oh, but they're going to add $600 on to it, regardless of whether you're making $40,000 or $10,000.
Yes, that's the federal supplement. That's $600 a week.
Oh, yeah. All right. 448-922-2703. Look, we got to take another break. And when we come back, we got some folks on the phone. We're going to go straight to your question. If you got any questions, if you're employed, you've been laid off, you've been furloughed, people being furloughed, you have had, when we come back, Attorney West, let's talk about contract worker. The NBA, for instance, asks the players if they be willing to give back portions of, half of, or 40% of their salary back to the organization because they're not bringing in any revenue, not working. And if you're furloughed or you have a give back in your contract or they want to renegotiate your contract, what advice would you give people as it relates to that? Because that is happening too. The organization is saying we're hemorrhaging money, and either you can give back, forego bonuses and everything else, or we may have just end the contract altogether. In extraordinary times like this, what governs that relationship? Is the contract ironclad? Is there a force majeure? Is there something in there that probably allows them to do that? We'll come back, talk about all of that, and we'll go to our phone line again. Our special guest on the line is Attorney Tamika West. She specializes in employment law. If you have any legal questions as it relates to employment, your employee or employer, then call us up, 404-892-2703. We'll be back in a moment. It's Too Much Truth with Derek Bozeman on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.